I'm Michelle Martin, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News. Later in the program, we will tell you about a new documentary called More Than a Game. Some are calling it the best film about basketball ever made. LeBron James and his band of high school friends at the heart of the film are all with us. That is later in the program. But first, more on education. President Obama is going back to school today. His visit to New Orleans includes a stop at one of the first schools rebuilt after Hurricane Katrina demolished the city's education system 4 years ago. Yesterday, we heard from Paul Vallis. He is the school superintendent of the Recovery District in Louisiana, about how he and the city officials who hired him are using this opportunity to remake the city's notoriously failing schools. But reviving failing big city school systems is not the only challenge for America's education system. Reporter Kavitha Cardoza, who covers education for NPR member station WAMU in Washington and has been dropping in from time to time to report on education issues, has filed a report about how schools in the U.S. stack up against schools in other countries around the world. And she joins us now in our studio to talk about it. Kavitha, welcome. Welcome back.
Lovely to be here, Michelle.
So, Kavitha, how long have educators and perhaps even parents been concerned about how U.S. schools stack up against school systems around the world?
As long as I've been reporting on education, so for at least 7 years, I've seen these reports come out. It seems to have taken on a new urgency, though, Michelle, because Ani Duncan, the U.S. Secretary of Education, has been linking it with economic security, economic development, and how we compete in the global marketplace. So,
what do these surveys show? How do American schools stack up against schools around the world, particularly in countries that we might be competing against for jobs and other opportunities?
Not very well, Michelle. U.S. 15-year-olds are in the bottom quarter for math and in the bottom third for science. We seem to do better in the lower grades and not as well as the students get older.
Does anyone know why this is, or what are the theories about why this might be?
There are a lot of different theories. The U.S. Secretary of Education has said we need longer school days, longer school weeks, longer school years. Some of the Southeast Asian countries, which do very well in these tests, they have what's known as shadow education. So before and after school, there are actually classes like tutoring services where students, so that means the total instructional time is much greater. So a lot of the other countries seem to be taking this very seriously. In the U.S., an expert in international education said, you know, we're better at figuring out where we rank than we are at figuring out what we need to do about it.
I mentioned to Paul Vallis, as we mentioned, he's the school superintendent of the Recovery District of Louisiana, which is the district that's taken over a number of the New Orleans schools, that there is no sort of national standard about what kids are supposed to know and when. In your report, you spoke to D.C. Public Schools Chancellor Michelle Rhee, and she echoed that sentiment. I just want to play a clip.
It results in teachers being confused about what's important and nobody being clear on what it is that kids should know and be able to do.
Is this a widely held sentiment among educators?
The researchers I spoke to echoed that sentiment. In fact, Rhee said that what we try and do here is teach a mile wide and an inch deep, and we need to go fewer, higher, clearer. That's what she said.
Kavitha, in your report, we hear a perspective from an international student from New Zealand, 17-year-old Chris Johnson. He says while he likes his teachers in the U.S. more was expected of him in New Zealand. Let's just listen to what he had to say.
Some of the theorems and formulas we would have to do on our own. By the time we next got to class, we had to come prepared. Whereas here, because we have it every day, you can always rely on the teacher being able to give it for you each day.
One of the things he was pointing out is that in New Zealand, you don't take the same classes every day. But so what does that mean? Does that mean that in other countries, high school is more like the university here, where students are expected to do more work outside of class?
It differs from class to class, but they don't have math and science every day. And by the time you get to high school, you're expected to do a lot more on your own.
Some of the parents you talked to also expressed a concern about the length of the traditional American summer vacation, and they felt that this causes students to kind of lose focus over the summer, to lag behind, and then they have to do catch-up work in September. Is that long break the norm, or do most other countries do it differently?
I've not heard of another country that has such a long break, and there are numerous studies in the U.S. that shows that children, particularly the low-income children, really fall behind when they're given such a long break.
And finally, we've been hitting American schools pretty hard here. Are there any ways in which schools in the U.S. are superior?
Chancellor Michelle Rhee talked about how innovation and creativity are really what is so highly valued in the US. When you have a system where one size fits all and everyone is doing the same thing, well, it doesn't quite translate into what we value as a culture over here.
Kavitha Cardoza covers education for NPR member station WAMU in Washington. She was kind enough to stop by our Washington, D.C. studio. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Michelle.